Yeah, man, I heard a podcast last night that had an interesting has some interesting stuff, man. You ever heard of Glasses Malone?
Yeah.
So he has a podcast, and I actually it's the first episode I listened to, and they were talking about it, and his podcast is called No Ceilings, and they just started reading off all these different articles about all these festivals where a bunch of people died and stuff. And basically he ended up just framing the point that Travis Scott's being railroaded. You know what I'm saying? It's just the fingers being pointed at him. And it's really he basically the gist of his kind of the conversation is that festivals are built to be out of control. And it's a festival problem, not a Travis Scott problem.
Yeah,
Really?
that's what I didn't necessarily understand. Well, I mean, the only part that I kind of got was people were upset that Travis Scott was specifically still performing while they were like calling for help. But I was like, oh, like
It's like
these
fifty
niggas are
thousand
like,
plus people. You
yeah.
don't really know what's going on. You're performing. You can't be like everything. You know what I'm saying? You can't be security. You
Even
can't
at
be
like
any.
the minimum, like he doesn't, even if he knows like some shit's happening, like he doesn't know people died. Like,
Yeah, they say he didn't even know until like I think the next day,
yeah.
because motherfuckers were like, "He was at Dave and Buster's." Like, nigga, he didn't know. Like, even if it was, the nigga had to get something to eat, right? Even if he did know niggas died, that nigga still had to eat, bro. But it was a really good podcast for anybody who, especially if anybody feels some kind of way towards him, it's like just listening to that because it kind of like, yo, there's so many different situations because they at first they were naming a bunch of situations that happened outside the US really, because I actually was looking them up while I was listening to it at work, and like it was real shit. Like some of these tragedies had like Wikipedias just about the tragedy, not even about the festival itself. And
Yeah.
it was way more people that got killed too at all these things. Then they started going into one happened. Well, it wasn't the same thing. It was a shooting in Vegas that killed like 100 people got killed or some shit like that. I don't know. It was a lot of people.
Right.
They was like, that was in 2017, man. And Glasses was like, who was the person performing on stage when this happened? When this happened? When this happened? And they was like, we can't name anybody. And they was like, so why do we know? Why all we hearing is Travis Scott during this? And really, it's because basically they were like, it's billionaires basically that are going to make the millionaire be the blame for it. And so it was just a really interesting perspective. And I was like, I didn't know about all these different situations and festivals and whatnot. And but he made a really good point. And I didn't think it was Travis Scott's fault anyway, but he made an even better point
Like, there's people
about
that are suing Travis Scott for like
it.
damages, right? And that's a part that I don't fully understand. Because, I mean, if you're going to sue somebody, wouldn't you sue the venue? Because
Live Nation. And
wouldn't
that's.
venues really be the in control of like security and all that shit? Like, the artist is just like they're paying for like
Perform.
their equipment and their performance staff. I
It's
think it's just
really.
the wrong person
It's really
is
Live Nation that should be
framed,
getting
yeah.
sued, but that his point in the pod was like the Live Nation has media connections because they're like this big conglomerate and whatnot, and so you
Right.
see the media is not actually like bringing them up in their coverage of this is Travis Scott, and it's also the cops' fault too. But hey, yo, just me personally as a parent. I kind of blame some of the parents too, because I would never let my daughters go to a festival and definitely not a Travis Scott festival at like 10 years old or in under.
Yeah.
Like, why is your kid at a Travis Scott festival? When concert in general, when you know what the concert is like, I know what a concert is like and I've never been to this. So there's no way. Like, I just think that was like you. I kind of blame some of them parents too, a little bit. They share the blame. That's man, wild.
The people that I don't think are getting enough blame are the motherfuckers that was actually doing the stampeding and trend. Like, I see a whole lot of blame going everywhere else, but the actual people that behaved the way they did.
Reggie, no, what was up with
ain't
your
no
people?
Excuse for that. Reggie, ain't no what's excuse up with for that.
Yeah, didn't they break? They bum rushed in there too hey, earlier.
You want to know something? I'll tell you. This don't happen at white people concerts.
That is a white person concert because there's nothing but white people at Travis Scott.
Nah, let me be real with you, though. I've been to plenty of concerts. The most aggressive crowds I've been around are rap concerts.
Right, but they don't do what that happens.
No, I'm just throwing shade at your people thing. In general, I agree with everything y'all said. That this is not Travis Scott's fault. It's more so the venue fault and the people that were there.
Again, yeah,
I've been to plenty
fault.
Of concerts. It's really the people who are in the crowd not giving a fuck, you know, trying to get to the front of the stage for Travis, trying to get social media posts, trying to be dickheads for no reason. Yeah. There's people that damn sure know that they were being violently aggressive and could have done more to help. And again, now the blame's on Travis when it should be NRG Stadium and Live Nation at fault for most of this because Travis Scott rents the venue out. If you rent out a venue, you know, 9 times out of 10, that venue still has staffing to cover everything else, security, concessions, blah, 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 blah. It's not Travis Scott's fault to worry 45 minutes into his set whether or not people are losing consciousness in the 45,000. Yeah, you know.
Hey, yo, you know what? Another thing, like, it made me think of is like, that people were like, you know, people were dying, or they were like, well, he saw an ambulance, right? I remember this story that 50 Cent told multiple times. People could look it up, right? And no one said anything about this to him. But this is when he was coming out, like, when he signed to Dre and Eminem, and he was on like that run. And he was like, yo, they had a concert at some hood club and a nigga got killed in the back of the club and they came, got the body, and that nigga just kept performing through it. Like a nigga got killed. Like in the concert. You know what I'm saying? And no one says anything about that. But and also, you know, another thing it made me think of. There's this movie called Backstage. It's about the Hard Knock Life tour, right? And they're talking about how they, you know, they don't want hip hop tours and whatnot to happen because of a possible violence. And dude was making a point on the documentary. He was like, yo, these rock tours, people fall out, they mosh pit, they got ambulances right there, the show keeps going. And I remember that particular line, and I was like, so if he did see an ambulance, because I haven't watched any of the footage, I didn't watch his apology or nothing, so I don't care that much about all that. I seen a lot of people like, well, he saw an ambulance, he should have stopped, and it made me think of that, which I'm pretty sure is true, that at rock concerts and other stuff like that happens, people lose, you know, people fall out.
Passing out and all that shit, like dehydration or whatever. Yeah.
So I was at a show like a month ago, and like you said, same shit. People passing out, ambulances all around. Not once was the show ever stopped. I firsthand needed a medic, not for me, but for my girlfriend. And I mean, 30-minute wait just to watch the cart go to 4 different places first. This is normal. They have tents set up for all that shit.
I didn't
know artist anywhere is gonna be like, "Oh, I see an ambulance. My bad, guys. Let's stop the show. Hold on. What's going on in the fucking crowd?" Absolutely not. This is something that's set up and they're always prepared for. Many of people lose consciousness, fall out, pass out, die even. I know my first night at Bonnaroo, the last time I went, like 3 people died. Show kept going on. That was the first night. That was the first night of 4 nights. Just the first night, by the way, the whole concert doesn't even start yet. They're just letting people in and 3 people died. Like they didn't stop the show yet. So, I mean, I think this is just blown way out of proportion, and then now people are throwing devil worshiping and
I heard Travis Scott's on that podcast.
It's just craziness.
So it sounds like, because see, honestly, Reggie, while I just said what I said, I don't have firsthand like knowledge of what you just said, right? And so it just sounds like a bunch of ignorant people to festivals talking about it. When I listened to that pod, I was like, damn, I didn't even know about this stuff, right? And I know what festivals look like on the internet to me, you know what I'm saying? To know, like, okay, this is what you need to expect if you're going to go to one. And so that's why I also put that blame. And I kind of put the blame, don't cops have to like, or fire marshals have to, even if it is outside, have to kind of do some kind of walkthrough or an inspection of an area where there's an event and be like, only this amount of people are going to come and it's got to be this many exits and this, you know what I'm saying? I would assume, right? Like, you got to have some kind of inspection and some kind of plan and whatnot. And so, and then someone can shut it down too. And because people keep saying he should have stopped it. And it's like his lawyer's saying now, like,
There's
he
someone
didn't have the
running
power.
lights, sound, all that. There's someone running everything for Travis. They're like, even if he's the guy who can be like, yo, I see something, stop. There's 100 people that work that are working that see this stuff too. They can easily have stopped it, have, pulled the curtains real quick, or whatever the case may be. Also, at a venue that big, there's fire marshals on scene. You know what I'm saying? Walking the, they are there throughout. This was not handled properly from the top, and I don't think that has anything to do with the artist. Yeah. And then they're like, oh, Drake was there, and most of like the BS happened when Drake was surprisingly brought on stage, and that in itself should be like something to look forward in future concerts to like not happen. And it's like, yo,
What did I have
you
get?
brought a special guest and people started going crazy like he was Michael Jackson, and now that's the artist's fault.
Bro, they're trying to sue the like in the
Drake.
lawsuits like for in, like inciting the crowd. It's a concert. It's what fucking
That's
artists are
my
paid to
job.
do.
That's
It's like
literally my job.
literally. And then I don't, cause I'm not a Travis Scott fan per se. Like, I like some of his songs, but I don't like, you know, go out of my way to like listen to his albums. But so I don't know like if it was from that concert, but I seen some video of him actually like trying to stop the show because someone was, I guess, passed out or something or whatever. I don't know if it was part of that concert or what, but I know that was floating around the internet as well because they were saying that he wasn't stopping and all this other stuff. So,
Well, there
you
was
know.
a video that I saw. I don't know if it's the same one. He stopped briefly just to tell the crowd to let the medics through because I guess they were like still moshing or whatever while the medic guy was trying to get through. He was like, yeah, you let him get through and get him out of there. And then he went back to performing. But I mean, that kind of shit, from my understanding, is normal. It's never happened in any concert that I've been to, but
I haven't
that's.
been to enough, to be
Yeah, I haven't
honest.
been to like a ton of concerts either, but the ones that I go to aren't like, I don't go to like Ragers or shit like that.
I don't
So.
even think I have the energy for like the Travis Scott, Playboi Carti types. Like, I don't think I have the energy for that crowd, yo. Like,
Yeah,
unless I'm on some crazy drugs, like,
bro, it's
I ain't trying
brutal.
to
And
be there.
like, especially at a festival like that, you more than likely they have multiple stages and they have a huge stage where the headliner is going to play at the end of the night. I can almost guarantee you that headliner was obviously Travis Scott at his own show, and he brought out Drake. All those people at the front were more than likely up there at the front for like 10 hours. You know what I'm saying? Because
Yeah,
people
fuck
will
that.
run in and they will wait all day. They'll go through every single show, and I mean, you can't move, you can't go to the bathroom. Like, 40,000
Yo,
people are going to be behind you.
that shit
So
sounds
people
miserable.
sit there
Probably.
all day, they get dehydrated, of course they're on drugs, and then the final, the show you've been waiting on happens, and you try to pull out all your stops, all your energy, you go crazy, and next thing you know, all the people behind you are ramming you up against the gate. People are just doing this and that and the third. But like, again, that's nothing new, especially not for festivals. I heard you talking earlier about how they were talking about European festivals and all this stuff. Absolutely, you go to some of these European, like massive metal and rock shows, there's crowds of 300,000-400,000. Like, guarantee you, there's way more of these medical emergencies, events happening where people were not able to get to them, or whatever the case may be. And it's nowhere near as talked about. There's probably way worse situations, evacuation methods, plans, and da 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 da. Yet, I don't know why we're so laser focused on this random event, where honestly, I think it was mostly caused by, like you said, the stadium and the damn kids. There's just a bunch of kids running around causing havoc, going crazy. Like, even at these crazy rock shows where they tell the crowd to pretty much kill each other on command, let's mosh, let's go fucking crazy, let's beat each other's ass. like what? That can easily happen, stop and end on command, but yet you have a bunch of 16, 17 year olds running around inciting riots to Travis Scott, 8 people die, and now it's like suddenly the artist is a demonic worshiper or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Wildly crazy.
I think it's really structured to just put the blame on it. I'm with that theory, man. I normally don't jump on those kind of bandwagons, but I just see it. I see it everywhere in the mainstream media and on social media. So, and I, like I said, I ain't even a fan of his like that, but I just see it. It's kind of fucked up. He's getting all this blame. But, yeah.
Because a lot of what I see people, like I said, are kind of, he could have done something, but didn't. That's kind of the sentiment that I see.
It still would have been dead.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, it literally does not stop the people from dying. By the time whatever happened, it already had happened. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's such a dumb argument. like it's a lazy one. There's so many other people to blame.
Very.
That's why the FBI is investigating and not Houston PD, because they're partly to blame.
Absolutely.
Welcome to episode 85 of the Pickup Podcast, Ocho Cinco edition. Your boy Mark is here. We're back with Reggie and Three Amigos in the building.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying? We're going to get that Aaron Rodgers and Odell Beckham talk going. Yeah, so we going to talk about the Cam Newton return to Carolina. Stick with us. We'll be right back after this.
Yeah.
You.
All right, so actually, yeah. Let's go ahead and talk about Odell Beckham, Cam Newton, both finding new teams this week, or new teams, old teams, whatever you want to call it, right? Odell, start with Odell, right? Obviously, your boy, Reggie's boy, Baker Mayfield, was out here doing him dirty. Had Odell's dad.
Butcher Maytag.
Had Odell's dad putting up a low light tape, singing the end of Diamonds Dancing, Drake's part. To Baker.
Ungrateful.
Mama should be ashamed of you.
How could you live with yourself?
I'm saying, like, he was like, man, what the fuck is going on? Look at what the fuck my son got to deal with.
Yo,
you noodle arm bastard. So we're looking at that.
Detrimental.
Well, so we're looking at that, right? And I think we can all agree that it just didn't work. Right? It just didn't work with those two. Mm-hmm. No chemistry. And even Baker himself is better without Odell. I mean, Odell enters the lineup and it seems like Baker's back to being a backup walk-on in college whenever he targets him. You know, throws are 2 feet high, a yard behind. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't hit. And it's not like he's not getting targeted. It's not one of those situations where he's withholding the ball. He's actively almost forcing the ball just in the worst manner possible. Oh, and obviously, we all know last year his ACL injury came on a misplaced ball. You know, Odell trying to adjust back to a misplaced ball. So, I mean,
thanks, Baker. Butcher.
What do you guys feel about the video that his dad put out? Was he right or wrong for that? To kind of blast like that?
It was his dad, because everyone's saying that it was him that really told his dad. But I feel like his dad could have just jumped out the window and did that. That's what I feel. And good for
either him. Way, it's conduct detrimental to the team. And I think that's why did. Yeah, absolutely. Even if just like you opened up your statement with. It was more than likely Odell, or it was possibly Odell. Allegedly it was Odell. Whatever this could be spun into, it's a close enough situation to where you need to keep your people in fucking wraps. You know what I'm saying? This is a business. This is a business here. This is a very big business. Nah, honestly, I think that's the main message they were trying to send with the fine, is that regardless of whatever situation you were wronged, this was right, this could be handled between us. This does not need to be put in the forefront of social media, the most dangerous place in America right now.
They fined him for that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They fined him for his dad having posting a video on social media?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
They absolutely should have, too. What? Your dad needs to calm the fuck down.
Oh, hell nah, man. Nah. Nah.
I don't know, man. Nah.
It's conduct detrimental thing to the team, dog. If you think about
it, my dad, what if my dad's a crackhead, man? Come on, man. Fuck out of here. Take just his wild phone. Shit.
No, nah, that's what I was saying, too. His dad was a former LSU athlete. You know what I'm saying? He's not necessarily nobody. And then we're talking about Odell's dad. Name. Like, we're not okay, so
I've never heard of Odell's
parents. Huh?
Oh, I was just saying, I never heard of Odell's dad. I knew that about him, like, now. But I never heard of Odell's dad until I heard of him.
Right.
To be honest. I'm just being real.
But we talking about, like, let's say this was, I don't know, some fourth string special teams player's parents blasting the team. Nobody would give a fuck. Like, these people, it's a status thing. Yeah. I mean, no one would give a fuck. Hey, look, y'all, look at what y'all doing to my son. He's having to make these tackles on punt team and blah, blah, blah. No one gives a fuck. It's just literally because they're the profiles of who's targeting who's involved. You're targeting the franchise quarterback, number one overall pick.
Yeah, a mediocre person, nigga.
The person who is targeting is the father of, for all intents and purposes, your number one receiver. So it's not like something that the team can just ignore because it's too many personalities at play.
Can I ask y'all something? Has Lonzo Ball ever got fined for what his dad said?
See, that's what I'm saying. This shit like that, like I thought that was kind of regular. Parents be wilding on social media all the time. I mean,
I'm just saying, Draymond Green mom done said some shit. A bunch of people, Aisha Curry, done said that they were cheating. They don't find him.
They don't find him for
critiquing the refs because Aisha Curry said that it's a rigged, NBA's rigged and all this shit. Like, when does it start being, somebody else can speak for me and I get blamed, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if that makes sense, but like, where do you draw the line then? Like, my homeboy says something on social media and I get fined? Like, that's ridiculous to me.
I am firmly in the belief that I think they made the right decision. And I think it falls under conduct detrimental of the team.
So where do you draw the line?
Because I think these situations are different. Like you said, Aisha Curry might have said the NBA is rigged after some shit. I know Zach Wilson's mom came talking about the NFL as soon as he got drafted. All that shit. What does that have to do with the team? Nobody once came out and said,
I just said Lonzo Ball. Has he ever got fined?
Yeah, but Lonzo Ball's dad never really came to the forefront to say, this is the worst situation that my sons are in. They need to get completely out.
That was almost word for word what he said.
Yes, he has, man.
That's how he got traded.
Since he's been in the NBA, he said it. He said stuff. Like, I know people remember stuff kind of before he got in the NBA, but he said stuff since he's been in the NBA, too. For sure.
Well, either way,
and no one's talking about that. It's just where do you draw the line, Reggie? No,
well, you're looking at one situation compared to the five you mentioned.
No, but there's other ones. There's other ones where parents have said stuff. And my thing is, like, where do you draw a line? Is it a homeboy? Like, where do you draw the line on?
I think it's simply the timing of this situation and the manner that it was taken care of. Like, right after Odell's worst game in his career, he only had one reception, 6 yards. A video comes out of him being, of his dad saying, this is maltreatment of the situation. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. You know, I think it's just more about the timing of it and the person, like you said, the personalities, the two people who were involved, the situation and how it was handled. I think that's why it should be handled with a conduct detrimental to the team.
Okay. So pulling back is detrimental? I know what I said.
But you got to think about
it. It ain't like he got on that video and said, hey, look at this bitch ass nigga trying to fuck my son up. He didn't even say that. He pulled game tape. 11 minutes okay. of it.
And we all know how dangerous social media is these days. That's something that if you really, really wanted to handle it like a grown man, like a person would have, like a person who wants a solution, a positive one, there's no way you make a fucking video and post it online. Let's be honest.
I agree with that.
Hey,
Reggie, just for clarification, you're just saying that this is like a special situation. Like, this shouldn't be like the status quo of like people getting found because of what relatives say about.
No, absolutely not. Because
okay, gotcha.
What I was also going to get at earlier is I think that everyone who is mentioned or brought something up is completely within their rights as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is definitely a rare situation, but either way, I think it was the right outcome.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I guess
on the Rams? That's the right outcome.
Yeah, we can get to that, which is that sounds great on paper. Hopefully it works out.
Probably will. And I'm
not being cynical. I think it will. But
I think it only works out in a scenario that fucking OBJ has a better chance of winning.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think that's what he cares about, honestly. Because otherwise, he wouldn't have went there. He would have went somewhere else, and he could have went somewhere else. And been like the guy.
Hell yeah. He left money on the table to get out of Cleveland.
I'd leave money on the table to get out of Cleveland any day under any circumstance.
Yeah.
To go to LA, I mean, especially.
Absolutely. Yeah. Especially for a person like Odell.
We're talking about guaranteed money. No, he left his guaranteed money on the table to make it easier for him to get released.
Hey, that's cool. What do y'all think about him going to Kansas City or Green Bay? Like, how that would have worked? And would those have been better choices?
Me personally, I don't think it was. I think out of what we heard or the choices you listed, he picked the best one.
He did.
That's what I thought too. But
Green Bay right now is so it all. Like I said, it all depends on what he would have cared about, right? If he cared about putting up numbers, making a Pro Bowl, All Pro, whatever, hitting, you know, that kind of stuff, I would have said probably go to Green Bay, just for the simple fact that he's going to see more targets and. As far as the offense is, he's not going to be employed on as many, like, gadget-type plays or whatever. Like, the shit that he was doing in Cleveland, the reverses and shit like that. Right. I could see that maybe being a possibility still. Because, you know, as many people, as many targets as they do have in L.A., they're going to fall into the – unless he specifically says he does not want to. I think some people are going to fall into the, oh, we just got to get him the ball, got to get him the ball somehow possible. And I don't think that necessarily is what's best for him, but yeah, he's on the best team right now.
That could end up being a great thing too, though, man. Like, I think that's what people are also missing is that could be a great thing where it's like they can't just focus on him, and so he might be butt naked open a lot of times, and especially when we get down in the playoffs, I think it's where he can really shine and kind of just show people, yeah, I am that dude still. And it won't matter. It won't matter about the numbers because you'll see, like, dude is – he's still that guy. And, I mean, that video showed he was getting open, too, a lot of those times. Some of those times, some bogus stuff. Yeah. I like, breezed. I didn't really watch the whole video, but I watched some of it, and yeah, he was open a lot of times. And also, quarterbacks aren't going to see everybody, too, though, so I will say that. But it wasn't – basically, like, just because he wasn't getting those numbers over there doesn't mean he wasn't getting open. And so it doesn't mean he still doesn't have what he had with the Giants. You know what I mean? So I think he'd be great.
I've seen Odell drop some passes too, which obviously those aren't included in a highlight tape indicting the quarterback. But, I mean, I think because one of my coworkers is a Browns fan, and he kind of brought this point up. He was like, you can take almost any – receiver pass target in the league and you can throw together basically every target that they've been missed on throughout a season, you know, because I mean people get targeted, you know, 120 times in a season and end up with like 80 catches, so you end up with like, you know, like 40 misses and you can make a tape of that, but they still had a pretty great season between the two, you know what I'm saying? So it's kind of subjective.
So
what you want to see out of it. And I was like, that's kind of fair too. Because I don't think Baker is like absolute trash. But I do think
I don't think
that it was kind of clear that it was a disconnect between the two, and that's what the video was made to show. But
from what I was reading, they're actually like cool. Like, they were always good off the field. There was just no chemistry on the field. That's so weird, because that's normally not the case. It's normally like the other way around or something.
Yeah. Well, I was going to add too that, you know, let's remember that Odell was brought to Cleveland by Jarvis Landry, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that, you know, that's what I was thinking is the same situation that might have happened in Green Bay with Devontae Adams highly advocating him to get there. But what does Aaron Rodgers think about this situation? Because one of the main things I've always looked at between Odell and Baker is that Odell's really not the type of receiver that would be Baker's best friend as a quarterback. You know, he's not really one of those. He's a type of receiver that can absolutely get open. He's more than likely always going to win those one-on-ones and all that type of shit. But for a quarterback like Baker, that causes a lot of force feeds, a lot of misses like we saw. I think more than likely going into a situation like Kansas City, it would have been almost the same scenario, because he's not the de facto number one guy. That's Travis Kelce. He's mm-hmm. also not the main gadgets guy. That's Tyreek Hill.
Mm-hmm.
So he can do a lot of his work out of the slot, this, that, and the third, but really he's going to make his bread and butter off of extending plays. And that's not the type of route receiver Odell is. In no form of his career has he ever been one to just completely extend plays.
And
I think that's what was needed.
Yeah, and I do think it's fair to, like, think about when you have someone like Odell on your team as a quarterback, it does put pressure on you to, like, get him the ball, like, because you got Odell. Like, absolutely. You got him.
Why is he not getting the ball?
Yeah.
He always is going to dominate, so I'm going to try to look for him in situations where I probably shouldn't. And that is almost more danger than help for a young guy,
mm-hmm.
especially absolutely. In a high-powered offense where, I mean, shit. Odell may be the probably best guy on that team, but he's not by far and large the best guy on this team to the point where he's just the de facto guy. They have a lot of guys that they could use and get the ball to work, and I think that's where he also fell behind, is that he wasn't the main guy and he wasn't getting all these plays specifically drawn up for him that worked. So now it's looking bad on the good, it's looking bad on the bad. There's nothing to really account for that makes Odell look good in this situation or Baker. I think those same two scenarios stay true if he goes to Green Bay or Kansas City. So that's why I think it's good that he picked the Rams.
Yeah, because the Rams right now, Cooper Kupp is top dog right now. And, you know, Bobby Trees is – obviously he's not better than Odell skill-wise, but there's just a rapport there, you know. I don't think – you know, because Cooper Kupp is who he is, I think you actually, instead of relegating – Odell to get what he can out the slot. Cooper Kupp is eating from the slot. That's what he does.
Yeah.
So you're allowing Odell to go be that X. Mm. You know what I'm saying? That, or he'll probably be the Z and Woods be the X. But for the sake of the offense, they might just, you know, since it's midseason, they might, you know, keep things as simple as possible with, you know, the positioning of the receivers. But Cooper Kupp being who he is, I think that's kind of what makes this, you know, a fit, because you don't have to relegate him to the slot when Cooper's already eating from there. So you're going to end up, like Ant said, you're going to have, because Cooper Kupp is who he is, you're going to have Odell on the outside running butt booty naked, you know, at some points mm-hmm. during the season. And he's going to get the easy gimmies that Stafford should be able to hit like a layup.
Mm-hmm.
Two wide receivers that come to mind in that scenario right now, Chris Godwin and Justin Jefferson, both being able to move around, but mainly get most of their work done outside as a second, third option because of the way their offenses are set up. And I think that's something he didn't have a chance to do in Cleveland also, is really be, you know, he was moved around and almost certainly moved around in a sense where, like, this is going to be a gadget play for Odell. Odell's motioning across the side. Let's give him a quick sweep. Break his back.
It just didn't make sense to me because they had – and I thought it worked because they had Landry. And Landry is same way, like primarily eats from the slot. So I was like, why are you still trying to move Odell around? Like, why not just let Odell cook from where he was at? Like, they were doing so much that they didn't have to with him. And Stefanski sucks. But
I think that's a big notion that was overlooked here. This man had to get his feet under his belt. And I still don't think they're there.
It's not it right now. I don't even know what you would say for an alternative, but that's just not it for me.
I think his offense just blows, and I'd rather see Matt Nagy's offense in Cleveland.
Man, but we were speaking of Odell, another guy, same week, got signed. Got Cam Newton coming back to the Panthers, obviously. Former quarterback, released the beginning of 2020. Spent a year and a half away from the team. He's now back after not being signed by anybody, bless you. And my boy is back starting. Sam Darnold's got a fractured shoulder or something, fractured scapula or something like that. He's done, in my opinion. I don't think they're going back to him for any reason whatsoever.
Is he done? Or,
No. Well, he's out for injury.
Yeah.
At least a month, you know, 4 or 5, whatever weeks.
You think he's done for the Panthers?
I think he's done for the Panthers just simply for the fact that I can't fathom, no matter how bad Cam plays, them going back to Darnold.
Because, like, would they give up for him?
A second and a fourth.
Second and third? Okay, second and fourth. Okay.
Which I didn't think was terrible.
I did, but
it was. And then, like, that's when I stopped watching. A second and a fourth was a gamble to me. Like, that's a gamble that I'd be willing to take. You know, you
for
keep
a guy
first round
who
pick.
Didn't show any kind of real potential.
And then, but
man, he's
not
like
really.
22.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
but
I
feel you.
Was worth
and
it.
And he played for the Jets.
Fair enough. Fair enough. But still, that's still.
And we got the picks back by trading back in the draft. We got the picks back. So that's what I was saying. It's kind of like a wash. The one thing that I will 100% I wasn't for at all was they picked up his fucking fifth year, the $18 million. I was like, okay, you trade for a guy on a rookie deal. You know, he's making like $4 million this year. Like, what's the worst you can do? You know, you trade a couple picks, you get the picks back by trading back in the draft. But then you turn around after the draft and pick up his $18 million fifth year. Like you said, a guy that hasn't really shown anything, like, that's not a commitment you make. Like,
confidence boost gone wrong.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, so maybe it was a confidence boost or whatever.
I think they were trying to make him feel like, oh yeah, you know what, buddy? New York mistreated you. We're all in on our guy. We're gonna make sure you are pampered. Fuck yeah! Just please don't suck. Please, God, don't suck. And, you know, you saw what happened there. I think this is career ending. In a sense, if you look at it as if this is the last time that someone will ever take a chance on Sam Darnold as a franchise quarterback or a number one option, this is career ending. Backup life forever now. If he ever gets another chance, you know, it's
he probably will. He probably will, hopefully.
He definitely will, but it will never be in this much of a prominence. Like, hey, yo, Sam, come run our team for me. It's like, hey, yo, Sam. Come pick up laundry for us Thursday.
Sam Darnold's about to Ryan Fitzpatrick for the next decade. Yeah. I can definitely see that. I can see him coming in.
You might as well grow the beard now.
I can see him coming in, winning 2-3 games, and then getting a 2-year contract.
Yeah.
Watch this repeat.
Yeah, he's going to get some bread, too. He's white. He will.
Oh, yeah. He played for the University of Southern California. He's going to get his bread.
Yeah.
How good y'all expectations?
I don't. Because I just want to say, I kind of like, ever since they traded for him, I don't know if you want to say renounce my fandomship. I've put it on hiatus, and I haven't watched Carolina Panthers really since then. Because I was like, yo, I'm tired of their front office just making a bunch of trash moves or not making any moves. And so I'm still kind of seeing what they're about to do. Because I was like, yo, I'm not about, like, going and picking a new team and just being like, yo, this is my team now. I'm not fucking with y'all no more. Because I don't do scrubs, dog. Like, if you just have a losing kind of mentality, start with the front office, and y'all don't want to go out and try to get people or take chances on people. I'm just like, nah, man. And even when we were winning, I felt that way. So, like, I was really, like, on some – and I still am. I'm going to see what they're going to do. But I don't have any expectation for Cam Newton, to be honest. Like, I don't know what to do with him because I felt like he was playing good in New England until he caught COVID.
And I think that's something people still haven't actually factored into people, performances. Like even with Chris Paul in the NBA, like people are like, oh, he choked in the finals. Yeah, he had COVID right before the finals. He was playing great before then. There's a lot of guys, there's examples of that. And I think that's what happened with Cam. So if he hadn't caught COVID, I feel like he wouldn't have been playing bad, and I would have. But then again, he would still be up there too. So, you know, I don't have anything for him. But I hope he does great. Like, I'm rooting for him.
I mean, Reggie isn't.
So going to the COVID thing, from what I've heard from just him speaking on it in interviews and whatnot, the thing with COVID, like, let's just even not even factor the potential, like, brain fog or whatever that they say could happen from COVID. Let's say that's not even his case, right? The one thing that messed him up was he caught COVID in the middle of the season, and the offense just kept moving. Like, they kept installing offense and shit like that, where he was already playing catch-up from getting signed.
He got signed late, didn't he?
Yeah, like, mad late. Like, he got signed, like, with no offseason, really. He just went straight into training camp. And my issue kind of that, like, as far as expectations is, talk about that was late. Like, we're in week 10.
This is really bad. This is really bad, yeah, too.
This is week 10.
Kind of set up to fail.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. This is week 10. He's getting signed. And he's going back to the Panthers. There's familiarity with the players. But as far as the actual offense and all this stuff, this is new. This is a different system. He's not, you know, it's not the same where he had the verbiage for the same, whatever, 9 years he was here, because they used the same quarterback coach and that became his offensive coordinator after the other one left. So, I mean, all this is a different system. And I think it probably helps that he did have to learn a new system last year on the fly. But it's just still a different beast where you're coming in mid-season and you're expected. The expectation for them is he's here to win games. And I think that's, you know what I'm saying, kind of set up to fail. You know what I'm saying? Like,
maybe that's the right thing to say, but
he's still dressing like all a boy to get Matt Rhule fired. I think this is,
he needs to get
fired. This is straight down from the top. Like, yo, I heard you go out and say you're ready to do whatever it takes at quarterback. Well, I've got a fucking idea for you, buddy. Here we go. Yo, come on now.
Well, no, he said that he called Cam. That's what he said.
Yeah, of course. He's going to say everything now because they have his balls in their hand. So, like, yeah, you want a job or not, buddy?
Say you call.
This is your show.
Go call him.
Yeah, go hit him up right now. No, but seriously, though. Is there anyone, and Marcus, this is pointed at you and your Panthers Twitter fandom, because sometimes I see y'all's tweet and I have to go throw up. Do y'all really feel like Cam Newton was in control of his own destiny here?
Oh, I never said that.
I'm not saying that you said it, but a lot of your friends, a lot of these people that I find these tweets from that come from your sourcing are like all in this hysteria that Cam Newton was solely in control of his own destiny, and that this is going to be some match made in heaven, and also that this is going to be an improvement on the team that we saw starting at the beginning of the year. All the Panthers are just insane, in my opinion. I think this is going to be an awful experiment. I also think, like, I can't remember who said it, but one of you guys just said this is a completely new offense and system. Also, Cam Newton fucking sucks. Like, let's not forget. Like,
oh, all right, so let's now I'm going to answer your question, Reggie.
This nigga's out of pocket, yo.
I'm going to answer your question, Reggie.
I'm not even like a Super Cat fan. Put some respect on my boy a little bit. Goddamn.
I knew what to expect. Reggie.
Yeah. Hey, we should have had Cam on here so she can cuss this nigga out, because she loved that nigga, man.
So this is what I'm talking about right here. Like, yes, I do think that Cam, like, I made the bet with Reggie, by the way, pay me, nigga.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the season, $100, you said $100 for him just to get signed. First 3 weeks of the season, like, four quarterbacks went down, he didn't get signed. I was like, fuck, I'm probably out $100. I ain't gonna lie. Like, Washington football team, they lost Fitzpatrick for like 8 weeks, and they were like, "Nah, we're gonna roll with Heineke."
Ugh,
and I'm not trying to be funny, I'm not even trying to be funny because honestly, they won a couple games with Heinicke that, you know, he looked, you know, he threw 300 plus, yeah. You know, he took some chances. You know, it looked straight. So I was like, fuck. I was like, Washington was probably the next best bet if you're talking about familiarity for the same reason I was talking about. Because I didn't like the fact that, you know, Cam got cut the end of preseason. Because now we're talking about the same shit last year. He came into a system, no time to learn it. But I was like, Washington, obviously, Rivera, Turner, you know, the guys that were there when he was last there, that's an easy pickup for him. So I don't really see any other option outside of that where it would be as easy of a pickup as far as knowing the offense and having command of it. So for him to come back to Carolina, that kind of caught me off guard for the same reasons. Now, I don't think he was in complete control of his destiny because I think other people factor in that too. I was like, well, we've got this guy here. Cam's only run like one system his whole career, and this isn't that. So we're not going to give people the hope that we got, quote, former MVP in here. But now it sucks running our offense. I mean, that's basically what's being said. It's like now he sucks running our offense that he had 10 days to try to install. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't see that ever. And I was actually thinking about this earlier today. When has there ever been a chance for a quarterback who's been released by a team to get signed by that same team, like a franchise quarterback? Have you ever seen that before?
Absolutely. I'm trying to think of one. That's crazy.
Someone asked me that at work. They were like, has that ever happened before? Like a franchise quarterback gets traded or released and then finds his way back to the same team?
Mm. And that's absolutely why I think this is a media ploy. All from the top, make some waves, get the idea off the real situation at hand. And that's the Panthers in whole have blown this season away. Mm. I think started off with great promise. There were even motherfuckers in the same Panthers Twitter that I am at a complete loss with trying to understand. But they were talking about they could be 8-0 at this time.
No. I saw that too. Well, I saw that too. Some of my Panthers Twitter followers was like, man, honestly, going into the bye week, which is after this week, I think, they were like, going to the bye week, they was like, man, we should easily be like 7-8-1. And I was like, yo, like, are y'all actually watching Minnesota? Like, Minnesota's offense is fire. I know we had a good defense, but I was like, yo, that's still like Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, Thielen. Like, those are niggas that can fuck us up. You know what I'm saying? And then talking about Dallas, like they were saying Dallas was our only – or the Cardinals were our only potential loss. And I was like, y'all are on some good shit right now.
I think we both laughed and said they'd be lucky to be 500. But at any rate, I still feel like you look at this whole situation, there's a lot of things that didn't go right for the Panthers. But one thing I did not have on my bingo card was them doubling back, completely losing all – hope for humanity, not saving face and saying, let's fucking find Cam Newton again. This is the answer. It's insane to me to think that anyone involved would let this happen and think it's going to be positive. I think it's nothing more than a media ploy. It's going to end up bad. 3 weeks from now, I'm not even sure what we'll even be saying. I'm also extremely pissed because I just knew when Mike White came out here and was the fucking headlining name on television that Cam Newton would never play a down of football again. And here I fucking am, not even a week later, this man is suiting up, prepared to start. Insane.
But the one thing I will say, as far as the decision to get Cam, if this is in fact the truth of what they said was when Sam Darnold went down with this injury, allegedly like minimum 4 to 5 weeks because it's a fractured bone in his throwing shoulder. And so we're talking about like you're 4-5 right now. The NFC as a whole is down. Like we win this, let's just say we win this week, right?
We're still one game out of the wild card.
We're one game out of the wild card. So it's not like as much as we could say we pissed the season away, we really haven't yet. We pissed the potential away. We could have potentially been in, you know, for the top wild card spot, you know, if we actually were going to go 8-1 or whatever through that little stretch we just went through. But no. But we're 4-5 right now. We're a game away from 500, which basically puts us really in the hunt still. So if you're going to still talk about being in the hunt to not sign a starting quarterback, would be an admission of defeat on the season. And the best available quarterback on the market, I still believe, is Cam Newton. Well, going into this past week. So if they were just truly saying, well, we just signed the best quarterback available, I could buy that, because I think Cam Newton was the best available quarterback.
True. That's
something I can get on board with. You know, it just so happens to be that the Panthers were the team looking for the best available quarterback. You know, timing is everything, whatever. Well, I'll take that as an
answer. It was a perfect PR moment.
Yeah, it was. Exactly. It's match made in heaven for everybody. Now, I want to
except for Matt Rule. It was not made in heaven for Matt. Matt Rule literally looks disgusted every time he has to answer a question about Cam Newton. He clearly hates this nigga.
They have a gun to his head. I swear to God, he's not in control of his actions right now.
He's like Kanye on that J Prince video.
Absolutely, dog. Right off set, you just got rifles staring this man down.
His kids are locked in a basement somewhere.
Exactly. No fucking way. But seriously, though, do you see a good outcome out of it? And I mean good by, like, 5 weeks from now, where do you see the Panthers at, Marcus?
So, if I'm going to take it, like, game by game, right, for the next 5 weeks for the Panthers. Yeah, so this week – We're not playing with Cam this week, allegedly. They said he's not going to – he might suit up and travel as, like, an emergency quarterback, I think, but I don't think he's going to start. So, we were going to take this week out of the equation. Let's just say we lose 4-6. Ooh, going into Washington, you know, coming home, he's playing against Washington. We can beat Washington. The next week is the Dolphins. We can beat the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. You can start off with 2 wins in the Cam – era, and that's within, like, I think with Darnold, we could have won these 2 games.
And just, they're not gonna be pretty,
exactly. But we have the defense to win both of those games. The defense for two struggling offenses, that are not really particularly good, we can make this a dirty game and win for both of those games, at home versus Washington, then on the road in Miami. And then we come back with a home game against the Falcons. Already beat the Falcons in a dirty, ugly game with Sam Darnold. I think sweeping the Falcons is kind of a difficult measure, but they're also just as down as we are this year. I couldn't throw that out the window, but let's chalk that up to a loss because I don't think we sweep. The Bills, loss. Mm-hmm. I don't see any path to beating the Bills. The Bucks, also probably a loss.
Big loss.
So for your next 5 games, 2-3, 3-2. Right, and then we have the last 2 games of the season are the Saints and the Bucks again. Now, the Bucks, I think, will be in, you know, that's week 18, 17th game. I definitely think it will be a ton of rest going on because nobody wants to go, you know, 17 full games into the playoffs. They barely want to go 16 full games. Niggas was resting the 16th game. So I don't think we have a chance, I think, to come up on the Bucks if they're playing, you know, resting starters and whatnot. And I think we can beat the Saints.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Trevor Siemian is their quarterback, and we beat them before. It's just going to be about stopping Kamara, which we did the first time, which I don't think we do twice. So for the next 5 games, I think we can win for sure. Should win 2. We can win 3. And then for the rest of the season, we have a toss-up for 2 more wins, maybe. So I think at the end of the day, we can – get that, you know, 6-7 win mark. It's possible, which would be touted as an improvement, by the way, because we won 5 games last year. So a 7-win season would be like, thank you for saving my job. Now get the fuck on from Matt Rule.
Oh, yeah, that do.
You disagree with that, Reggie?
I don't disagree at all. I think that's a very attainable number. What I still think, though, is that's a disappointment.
How good did you think we would be? Because 7 to for me, the ceiling was 9 wins. Like, absolute everything goes fucking perfect.
I think injuries aside, and if this was a perfect world, you know, 9 wins is a very, very good number. I'm not saying that a disappointment is anything more than close to expectation. What I'm saying is that for all the hoopla around this, all the going into it with whatever expectations or whatever can come out of it, I think for a team like the Panthers,
wasting the back end of the season on playing around with whether or not Cam Newton can get us a wild card spot or not is foolish.
As opposed to what?
As opposed to finding another quarterback option, or at least working towards it, or at least trying a different scenario that I think would bring more chemistry to your team. Because in all facets, I think this offense has now become a one-dimensional offense. Anything more than it, or a one-dimensional offense more so than it already was, with Sam Darnold playing like complete shit. I think now this turns into an offense that is easily predictable, and it's going to make it harder for you to develop young guys to get more things going, so to say, especially when you're trying to teach your quarterback the offense at hand. And this said quarterback may be limited as well. So I just think you could have spent these last 8, 9, 10 weeks trying to find other good spots to explore in your team than to be spending it on giving Cam Newton $10 million to fuck around after we have clearly already failed. You know what I'm saying?
You're in the middle of the season. There aren't any good possibilities.
There's plenty of good possibilities.
In the middle of a damn season? You crazy, though. You just said that he was the best available quarterback.
I never said that.
You just said that. He said that. He was like, yeah, you're right.
No, I never said that. Okay. I may have agreed in something along those lines, but I never said Cam Newton was the best available quarterback. I still don't think that.
Who's available right now?
I don't have a list available to say, but I'm just sure there's a quarterback out there better.
You just don't like that nigga, man. Just like
I know, even if I didn't like him, that doesn't take away from the fact that he's not good. And I mean,
no one's even arguing that he's good. We just like, yo, this is the situation they have, and you kind of going back. It seemed like you was on board, and then you just went back to bashing Cam. Basically,
no, I'm not bashing Cam at all. All I'm saying is that for the Panthers as an organization, why waste the next 9, 10 weeks looking at a situation that isn't going to benefit us next year when we could be looking at a situation that could possibly benefit us next year? Because even if he wins a few games, gets us into this wild card spot, sure, we did that. All we did is fuck up our draft order. There's no way this Panthers team is going to win a Super Bowl. That's like one in a million right now. I know that's what the team. That's what all the people involved, the organization, want to strive for. Like, let's not just kill our season now. Let's not admit defeat. Let's not do this. Let's not do the third. But I really think in some situations, teams should take into account the fact that what is the best possible scenario that could come out of this, and how does that pair against what we could do, what we know we can do, which is let's just explore what we could possibly find in someone else, as opposed to let's sign a veteran quarterback that we know is limited, get him in, and let's try to win 3 or 4 extra games.
I don't think he's as limited as you say he is. You treat him like he's Tebow. He's just gonna come in and run QB power 10 times a game. Like
I feel like you're saying contradictory things because you're saying develop the other guys, but then you're also saying don't fuck up your draft order. So it's like you can't do both. You can't like be trying to salvage a season and still be competitive and the guys actually learn something or get more experience, and at the same time, like, go get a bum, but at the same and keep your draft order. Like, you're saying a lot of contradictory shit to me. So, should they like tank the rest of the season, or should they try to get in the playoffs? Like,
I think you're misunderstanding me. All I'm saying is that I feel this move of getting Cam Newton was made to try to make a wave and move towards getting a wild card playoff spot, salvaging the season that we had.
Right, right.
I think this time could be better spent finding what I'm saying is I know for a fact, more than likely, next season, Cam Newton probably will not be playing for the Panthers.
Right.
Even if he takes y'all to the Super Bowl.
Gotcha.
So with that, like with what we know here, we could be finding out other options looking towards next season, as opposed to just signing Cam Newton and putting him on the squad and trying to win with him.
And what I'm saying is right now in the middle of the season, you're not going to sign a quarterback that you're going to want next year. So I don't understand. I don't understand. What can they do? Because you can't tell us a quarterback that they should get. And I'm like Reggie, I don't understand. It's just kind of like it's already a shitty situation. So it's like I don't even think there's a right answer. They just chose Cam and you don't like him. Well, Reggie, just shows that what you said to the point where Reggie just said the Panthers when they called Cam,
right?
Allegedly they offered him a 2-year deal. We're talking about him not being there next year. They offered Cam a 2-year deal, and Cam countered with he wanted a multi-year deal.
He's bugging. That nigga was bugging.
And so it came out. That's kind of why the money came to what it is right now. So I guess whatever the plan is, hey, look, we're just going to ride with you the next year or two, and we're just going to, like he said, develop a quarterback. Like, you do what you can do for the end of this year, next year. We're going to probably draft somebody, trade for somebody's Jordan Love or some other fuck up or whatever, and let him sit for a year instead of throwing him to the Wolves. And yo, we're gonna let you take the heat and someone else develop is the plan.
But unless Cam's, I don't know, because you would think then they're gonna be based in offense around Cam again. Unless they're not, which
I don't think they are. I think they will literally let Cam drown.
Okay, cool.
Let someone else look bad.
Because that makes sense then, if they are going to do that. Because otherwise, I'm like, yo, they don't even help the person coming in because they're not going to run the same offense. But if they're going to do that, then that makes sense. And I'm with that, and I get that, and that makes sense to me. I guess that makes sense. But
I'm just going based off the interviews of what, you know, Cam has spoken about and what Rule has said about the dealing. Apparently what they're going to do is Cam is buying in 100% to whatever Matt Rule's plan is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's do the best you can do, to do whatever you can to win games. I don't think this is the tailor the offense and all that around Cam. It's Cam has to fit into this situation, and Rule's going to do whatever he has to do to save his job.
Does Rule have general manager powers? I forget.
He does not. Scott Fitterer.
Okay.
And that's why I was saying, like, they didn't actually speak on this, but the reports were that Cam was offered a 2-year deal and he wanted, I think, probably 3 years. And they settled with, well, we're just going to sign for the end of the season. And I heard that was part of the holdup to why the calls happened on Tuesday. The signing didn't happen until Thursday. So I think that was like part of the holdup of why he wasn't able to get in by that Wednesday, Thursday practice time was that discussion. But we're looking at a guy that obviously – I think Cam still has something left in the tank. I don't think he's absolute
– I don't think he's cooked or nothing.
Dead in the water. Because, I mean, he even looked okay in the preseason with New England. I don't think he looked trash at all. I mean, they're running preseason vanilla offenses, but his balls were delivered on time. You know, he showed good pocket awareness.
Pause.
Yeah, big pause. Pause play. he was delivering on time. You know, he was taking the easy, you know, taking the layups. You know, that's what they say in offenses. And obviously, like I said, it was the preseason, and so vanilla offense is vanilla defense. But I mean, he still showed pocket awareness. You know, the little fundamental things that help you develop, you know, throughout the season when all the rest of the shit gets, you know, added in. So I think that Cam's going to be okay. I'm not expecting him – like, this nigga's expecting him talking about something. Hey, can he recapture the 2015 Magic? Nigga, no. Like,
no.
That was 6 years ago. First of all, leave that alone. He's literally not the same person as 6 years ago. Like, we need to dead that shit, that expectation.
Did y'all notice that he went and got his ass fucking shot?
Yeah.
Yeah, you went and did that shit.
I think that was part of whether they want to admit it or not, because of course they won't admit it. Because a few episodes ago, remember we were talking about Urban Meyer, he was under fire around that same period when Cam got cut. He made a comment about vaccination status being a deciding factor between trimming the roster to end the preseason. And they were talking about, yo, you can't say that.
Yeah, you probably can't say that, but that definitely should be a factor. Like, if it's between you and another guy and one guy's vaccinated, so I know he's going to be around, yeah, I'm picking that guy.
Because we got Aaron Rodgers out here. Like, the Packers are in prime position where they were
– Yeah, let's talk about this, nigga.
Yeah, they had the number one – you like that segue. They had that number one seed in the NFC and kind of pissing it away. I don't know if he's going to play tomorrow or not.
But well, my today fantasy team, he better.
Today is the first day that he's eligible to be back in the building if he tests negative. So he can be back today, play tomorrow. And it's Aaron Rodgers. It's Aaron Rodgers, so I don't really have too much of a doubt that him being away is going to severely affect his play. But you never know. It could just be the small things. You know, he hadn't practiced in 2 weeks. You know what I'm saying? So it could be one of those situations where he has a less than average game by Aaron Rodgers standards. And if it's not enough to pull it out, then you lost 2 games due to this vaccination status thing with him. And in the hunt for the number one seed, a first round bye, that's shit that I think should be considered.
Yo, man. Let's talk about this nigga, man. I'm immunized ass nigga. Like, dog, I used to really like Aaron Rodgers, but the more stuff I've seen with him talking, he starts to seem like a guy more so that thinks he's smarter than what he is. And it's kind of annoying. He kind of seems like a douchebag to me. That's just my take. And he definitely purposely, like, was being deceitful, even though the reporters should have, like, pressed. But I think it's the journalist's fault for not pushing them and being like, yo, I didn't ask if you were immunized. Are you vaccinated? You know what I mean? He hurt his team a little bit. I mean, he could have. I don't think it's going to end up being like that big of a thing. I just didn't like how he approached this whole thing. Like when he was on, was it Pat McAfee show?
Yeah.
He was saying all this dumb shit like, oh, the woke mob and all shit. It's like, dog, no, he ain't got nothing to do with none of that shit, dog. You purposely made people think you was vaccinated. You was walking around acting like you was vaccinated. Here's the thing. He was like, oh, they were saying like, oh, he wears masks like around the facility and all this other shit. But he wasn't acting like, I guess he wasn't acting in front of the media like a player who wasn't vaccinated. And that's the whole thing, man. So I don't even think it should be like as big as it's been, but like he kind of made it that way. And I just think the more he talks, the more he just sounds like a douchebag. And like he sounds like one of those people who thinks they're smarter than they actually are. And I thought he was kind of a smart dude, but maybe he's just a smart dude like at football and not as smart as he thinks he is. Because he's over here talking about he consulted Joe Rogan, for Christ's sake. Like, fuck out of here. Is Joe Rogan a goddamn medical expert? I don't know what the fuck going on with the world, man, but I don't know, man. So
my perspective is this.
Some other shit.
My perspective of this was that obviously it's my biggest issue with some of the vaccine stuff is we're talking more about people not getting the vaccine than just, hey, look, this percentage of people have the vaccine. This stuff's going down. They're still harping on the people that don't have, oh, this many people haven't gotten yet. And I don't like the fact that people are straight up, as stupid as I think it might be, some of the reasons people aren't getting for vaccination, the demonization of the people that aren't getting vaccinated, think it's turning people off from actually getting vaccinated. Like,
yeah,
I think it's going too hard in the paint on that shit. Like,
yeah,
sometimes you should kind of chill out on that.
I do agree with that. Because my issue isn't that he wasn't, is that he was lying or trying to be deceitful purposely, and he know what he was doing. That's more my issue.
That's what I'm getting at. Where he's talking about the woke mob or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, he's saying, like, oh, I'm getting attacked by the woke mob, and people are empowered by, like, yeah, they just don't want to, like, they don't want to make it feel like they're forced to do something. Even if it's the right thing to do, they would rather make the choice to be wrong than to be feel like they're forced to do something right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a part of the whole illusion of freedom that we have in this country, you know? Like, I have the freedom to do what I want, even if, like, no one can tell me what to do, basically, is the mentality that half the niggas have in this country. Mm. So even if they're like, okay, we're going to tell you to do this very right thing for the good of the community, you're like, well, you're not going to tell me to do it. Yeah, so you're not going to tell me to do it if I don't want to do it. So, no, I'm not going to do it.
This just made me remember this bozo tried to go ahead and throw a Martin Luther King quote in on his bullshit, which white people love fucking doing. These pilgrims love throwing Martin Luther King. It's like they don't know another nigga. All right. And then they always use it in the wrong context and all this other shit. So it's just ridiculous, huh? He just sounded ridiculous in this whole thing. And it really wasn't, it could have been not a big deal. He could have just been like, yo, I'm unvaccinated. And I would have been like, cool, whatever. And he's following all the protocols, whatever. It's making it tougher on his team. But whatever. That's his choice to make it tougher on his team. And cool. But he went out here, tried to get cute with it. And then he made a situation. Wasn't nobody really coming at him when he said that. Like, it wasn't crazy like that. It was just that you lied, dog. You fucking lied about it. That's really what it was. More than anything.
That Pat McAfee interview that he had, I think, made it 10 times worse than whatever he perceived the backlash from the original was. Oh, well, he said he was immunized, but he's not. If he wanted to answer some questions on what he meant by that, which apparently the ivermectin, whatever, he's like, well, I took some of that and I call that immunization. But here's my thing is that the league never at any point, like, that's public, not public, but, you know, that's like team information. The league knew this.
They knew that.
Yeah, because he went and he tried to.
Yeah, he tried to get exemption, and they laughed and they said, this is some cuckoo shit.
Yeah. And they tried to get clearance, you know, for him to play under the vaccination status, but he was like, they were like, no, what the fuck is this shit? And then he went back as an unvaccinated. On his team, and no one did anything about any of this shit. They just like, all right, well, as long as he don't catch COVID, like,
and he did
500,000
and he had symptoms.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, like, nice. You know how many people have caught COVID? Like, just to be like, oh, well, as long as he don't catch it, we'll be fine. Nigga, what?
Yeah.
Like, knock on wood, I think I'm probably the last person in the country that has not caught the shit.
Yeah, as far as I know, I haven't, but I haven't also got tested. But if I had it, I didn't have no symptoms.
Well, we got we get tested by bi-weekly at work, and I've never tested. Yeah, they make us. Well, they actually just stopped making us. They're trying to. It comes and goes with however the community rates are. Like, if it reaches a certain number, they're like, "Yeah, we have to test," and then
they falls back.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they try.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yo, someone said on a podcast that I thought it was funny but true that he did himself a disservice going on his friend's podcast and no one's going to take you seriously talking to a dude in a tank top with a chain on. And I was like, that's funny for one. I forgot who said it. And I was like, and that's also fair. Like, dog, even if you were going to like state your case, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. It doesn't matter how you feel about it. If you were going to state your case and people take you seriously, dog, you don't go on that particular podcast in that setup where this dude's looking at you. And I'm like, I was like, yo, yeah, I probably wouldn't be taking anybody serious on. He was like, what? I'm allergic to this and this is in that and all this other shit. And I was like, nigga, whatever, nigga. Nigga, you was trying to be cute, nigga. Shut up.
I just wish that niggas would own, like, because I honestly thought Aaron Rodgers was better than that. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's kind of like, wow, I just thought the nigga was better than that. Not that I thought he was some genius or some shit, but
yeah,
at least I thought he would own up to, like Kyrie. Like, that's been the big – and Kirk Cousins have been the big comparisons because obviously Kirk Cousins has been, you know, anti-vax or whatever – anti-COVID vax, maybe not anti-vax in general. But Kyrie's obviously been in the same boat. And but they stood on their shit. Mm-hmm. They stand on their shit. Because obviously it's a choice. It is a choice whether, you know, you feel it's smart or dumb or whatever. It's a choice.
It is.
And if you make the choice, you might as well stand on it. Which I can say I respect those guys for standing on it, following through with the protocols that go with their choice, you know. That is better than trying to pull some wordplay semantics over people. Well, I'm immunized, but you're not recognized by the league as immunized. You just expect us to believe that everywhere but where a camera would be on you is where you were following the protocol. Like in the locker room, in the hallways, team facilities, meeting rooms, he was masked up and all that stuff, but on the sidelines, he wasn't.
Did y'all hear about that all the teams have to submit footage of their facilities to the NFL? Because last year, I think it was Denver. They have these trackers or something when they're around the facility. And mm-hmm. the Denver quarterbacks were basically, when they would get in the quarterback room, they would put their trackers in the corner. And then, but they would take them off, put them in the corner. And then they would just, I guess, go about however they meet up. And
and the league ended up seeing that. And remember when they had that situation where, like, a wide receiver had to be the quarterback?
Yep.
I think it was Denver. I might be wrong.
It was.
So that was wild. So I wonder if they seen Aaron Rodgers' footage, you know what I'm saying, what he's been doing around the facility. Because that one dude in the quarterback room, he got COVID, and I think that's how he ended up having to get tested and all that other shit.
Right. I mean, that was wild in of itself because they pulled that dude off the practice squad because Kendall Hinton was a quarterback at Wake Forest for like a year. And they were like, well, he's the only one with quarterback experience.
That is so wild, dude.
And I mean, he completed a pass, and, like, they're building a statue of him outside of Ohio. I was like, hey, this nigga completed a pass. They was talking about this nigga, like, he went overseas and came back a warrior. It was like he's so brave for what he did. He went like, up against an NFL defense and on, like, 3 days' notice. I'm like, okay, well, I mean, I ain't taking that away from him.
You said I'm going to be real. I probably couldn't do it. I know I couldn't. If someone said today, hey, yo, go out and play quarterback, I don't think I will complete one pass.
I don't think anyone's betting that you would.
Yeah, man.
The one pass he completed was a screen. It was a screen pass behind the line to a tight end.
Didn't he go, one of seven, like, three interceptions before the half?
I don't know how interceptions or how many, but I know it was, like, one of six or one of seven for, like, 8 yards because he – like, if it was just a screen pass, a tight end screen.
Now, but basketball? Didn't Nathan Peterman throw 5 interceptions in his first 25 passes?
Yeah,
he did.
Like that.
So, yeah, I mean, hey, that was a real-life quarterback.
Yo, do y'all think I could score a point in the NBA game? Because I have a delusional hope that I could do it. If I got enough minutes.
How many times will they let you immediately inbound the ball and throw that shit up for full court? I think that's the only way.
Only way?
Just immediately inbounding the ball and, like, throwing that shit up.
If I was taller, I definitely could get a bucket. I don't know. I'm betting on myself still, but it depends on how many minutes I had, though.
The way they're calling fouls in the NBA right now, I don't think you got a chance. I would have said maybe a year or two ago you could get fouled and get to the line.
Oh, because I'm going to hit one for you, though. I'm going to hit one of them motherfuckers.
Yeah, I'd say maybe if you got fouled and got to the line. Let's say you played 20 minutes, right? At some point in 20 minutes, you can get fouled and get to the line. But, I mean, the way they're calling fouls now, they are literally like you have to get hacked.
Yo, because I'm going to be real, because I would have to be a point guard, because I'm 5'11". So that means I would be getting the ball stolen a lot.
Yeah. You think you can get around an NBA defender?
No. Not at all, because when I was at Bragg and the young boys would come in, I think they were high school kids, and that's when I would get smoked. That's when I knew I was kind of done. Like, yeah. Because I just didn't have the foot speed. Like, I knew what to do, but my body couldn't do it quick enough. And I was like, yo, I got to stay in the post or some shit, man. Yeah, so no, I don't think so. And that's the thing. I can't post up anyone in the NBA either because everyone's bigger than me. Except for Chris Paul. But then he's probably way stronger than me.
So it's wild, but
yeah. Off topic, but yeah.
So yeah, we're talking about, you know, Aaron Rodgers and even going back to that, you know, you're talking about how unprepared, right, you would be for a situation like that. And I mean, I know Jordan Love was a first round pick, even though he was a third round prospect, but whatever. He coming into the game not knowing like that week. He doesn't know that this is gonna be the week that Aaron Rodgers is going to be out for COVID. So now he's got to prepare for a game to go get his ass kicked, right? A game that they should have won, by all accounts. So, I mean, obviously he had all this week to prepare, but now he's probably not going to play because Aaron Rodgers is going to come back and do whatever. So, I mean, it's a whole clusterfuck of shit. And I think Cam is fucking lying and Belichick is fucking lying if they say that had 0% to do with any of the decision. Especially when it was directly off the heels of Cam missing 5 days. Like, Cam is 5 days just being in contact with somebody. He even tests. You know how many times during the season you could just end up in contact with somebody? Like, we're talking about Aaron Rodgers actually getting it, right? And that's how they found out that he actually tested positive. But
I thought it was some shit like he went to a doctor's office or some shit like that. Or was that someone else? Yeah. Where he missed some games. Or where he had
He had to sit out. But I'm saying, like, it was under the rule. That's under the rule of him being in contact with somebody. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay. Got you.
So I was like, he could just be in contact with somebody. And it's an automatic 5 days.
That's wild. Yeah.
Or missing a test, which is, I guess, what that falls under, 5 days.
Yeah.
And have to take multiple, you know, tests negative every day of those 5 days. So we're talking about, like, there's too much that was going on with the whole COVID rules and stuff. And don't get me wrong. This is not me saying the COVID rules are good. I think the COVID rules are absolutely fucking retarded by all by all measures. Because you're telling me that niggas can't catch COVID standing in the huddle on the field and they get off the field and they got to put a mask on the sideline. That is fucking stupid. I is absolutely retarded. So, like, if Aaron Rodgers is saying, like, look, the rules don't make sense, I don't want to follow them, I'm not even going to disagree. Yeah. The rules don't make sense. But the fact of the matter is, you lied. If you would have stood on that from the beginning, I'd have respected it. But you lied.
Mm-hmm. Bitch.
That holier-than-thou shit is crazy with Aaron Rodgers. I don't like that just because of the fact that even though he is who he is, as far as a quarterback, it's not like he has the hardware and stuff to go behind. He has MVPs. But, I mean, like, he's got some stinkers. As much as I take up for Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback, because he is one of my favorite players ever, like, bro, like, we're not going to sit here and deny, like, you should have at least minimum 2 rings, possibly 3. You know what I'm saying? Like, that Pete Carroll throwing on the 1-yard line, that shouldn't even happen that year. That should have been him in the Super Bowl, you know? Fucking last year, you could say, that should have been him in the Super Bowl. But, you know, whatever. That's about all I got time for. Anyways, y'all got something to say? Is Reggie
Aaron Rodgers sucks. Just kidding. This is about on par what I would expect from someone like Aaron Rodgers, so I'm not in the slightest bit surprised at any of this or his thinking. I mean, he almost married Danica Patrick, who is a real-life NASCAR driver, so that should tell you all you need to know. Almost married Danica Patrick.
Yo, he had
a NASCAR driver. There we go.
He had bagged that one chick before, though. That was a baddie, man.
Doesn't matter. Danica Patrick's bad too, but it's about the fact she's a NASCAR driver, and what did NASCAR have synonymous with America?
Yeah, I feel it. Yeah, but you will still beat.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Yeah, no question. What?
Yeah, but me and mine are vaccinated, so I
mean, that's that. I'm vaccinated, pussy. That's that dirty bottom of the feet, pussy. But anyway, work.
Also, congratulations, Reggie.
Congrats, man.
Preach.
No, he said it before, but obviously it's like real now, like really real. It's
really real. Like Reggie, what y'all understand is Reggie is sacrificing. He's raising my child, and I really appreciate.
Not playing. From across the country too. I'm doing my best. Man.
Hey man. Much luck to you, fortune, and health to your child for sure, man.
Hey, I appreciate that.
And your lady too, because that ain't no joke. Salute to women.
Absolutely. Salute the women. But yeah, man, I'll hit y'all guys up. Y'all be easy.
For sure, man. You too.
Yes, sir. Pick up podcast. We are out.
Cheers.